It is good to see you today. And man, I don't know how your week's been. Sometimes our weeks are great. Sometimes they're a little challenging. And I've had a pretty good week. Hope you have. But regardless of the circumstances, we do believe, whether we're going through valleys or we're living on mountaintops, that we can come together, gather as a family of believers, and be encouraged in our faith that we have in Christ Jesus and how he adjoins us to God. We believe that we can move forward and do greater things. We believe as a church, our best days are still out in front of us. How many of you received that today? Come on. And again, the Bible says that God is making all things new. And in spite of the challenges we may face week in and week out, we hold on to that promise. We hold on to that hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We hold on to his great return for his family as he is going to make all things right, redeem all of his creation, and do mighty and great things. That's what we hold on to. So again, whatever you're going through, be encouraged today. You know, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to invite you to open it up to the Old Testament book, the book of Ezekiel, and I'm really excited speaking from this passage in Ezekiel 37 today, because I really believe that it can help all of us on our journey that is found in Christ. The Bible says something remarkable in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, in Christ, you and I are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. However, we have to learn to walk in that newness that God gives us found in Christ Jesus for us to really experience the life that he intends for us to experience. God is all about bringing people out of bondage, out of slavery, out of oppression. He's all about bringing us out so that he can take us into his wonderful promises and we can be useful here in this earth. Lots of people think of eternal life as something in the future, but God speaks of eternal life as something that can begin right now for each and every one of us in Christ Jesus. And though we have difficult circumstances as we walk through this life here on this earth, I do believe that we can grab hold of the hope that God wants us to hold on to. And move forward in spite of those circumstances. I want to read through 14 verses today and then speak a little bit into this today. Now, Ezekiel is a prophet that is speaking to the Israelites who had been brought out of bondage. They'd live what we would refer to as a blessed life. They'd begin to forget about the God who brought them out of bondage. So God allowed some circumstances to come into their life and they were taken back into captivity. And now a lot of these people are so to say, they don't believe that there is no future. God calls on this prophet Ezekiel. He gives him multiple visions, and we're gonna speak from this vision he gives to him in Ezekiel 37 today. But the reason God gave him these visions is because he wanted them to speak hope back into some people who were living hopeless lives. And so, you know, I don't know today whether you need some hope. Maybe you have a hopeless situation, but my prayer is that God would use this passage to really speak into your heart today. Ezekiel says this. He says in verse 1, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and they were completely dried out. And then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. And then he said to me, speak. Everybody say, speak. Speak. He says, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, again, I'm going to stop right here for just a minute. I want you to notice that it's not the bones, it's not the flesh, it's not the muscle that gives these bones life again. It's the breath that the Lord breathes into them. And I want to say this to you today. It's not your flesh, it's not your muscle, it's not your physical life that truly gives you life from God. It's the breath of the living God who breathes life into you. And Jesus will bring you into the presence of the living God so that God can speak into your heart and into your life. But you have to submit yourself to God and then allow him to begin to breathe this new life into you. The Bible goes on to say this in verse 7. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then I watched muscle and flesh form over the bones and then skin formed to cover their bodies. But they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak. Everybody say, speak.
Speak.
He says, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, like many are saying today, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone, and our nation is finished. That's what people are saying. Though, Ezekiel, you have spoke to the dead situation, though you have spoke a prophetic word to the winds, and they have come and breathed life into these bones, these people are saying one thing, but they need to understand, I say another. And then he says in verse 12, he says, therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again, and then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I've done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Now, this is a fascinating passage, though it's spoken through a prophet named Ezekiel to the nation of Israel. I want this prophetic word that was spoken to Israel speaking to your life today. And the first thing we have to understand is we have to speak hope into the hopeless situation. We have to speak hope. Actually, this idea of speaking to the dry bones has two applications for it. One application is for the church, and the other application is for those who are left found in a hopeless situation. The first application is like, church, you need to learn to speak hope into dry, desolate, scattered, desperate situations. Because there's a lot of people who feel like dry bones, feel hopeless, feel like they have no purpose in life, feel like life is over, feel like, you know what, there is no future for them. And so here there's a message for the church. You need to speak hope into those hopeless situations. Did you know that's what we strive to do every single time we come together? We strive to speak hope into hopeless situations because people experience all kinds of things. They experience relational breakups. They experience sickness. They experience, you know, financial difficulty. They experience all kind of oppression. They experience depression. But God says there's hope no matter what your life experience is. If you will learn to let him speak into your life and speak through your life, there is hope. And so we as a church, we want to speak hope into situations. Now, what's so unique about that It's not only with our voice that we speak hope. It's with the gift that God gives each of us that we speak hope. And this is where so many people miss it. The message for the church is to use your gift. Everybody say, I got a gift. It's to use your gift to join together with the other gifts so that we can breathe life into our community, breathe hope into our community. But we have to call on the Spirit of the living God. Anytime you see this idea of wind in the scripture, it represents the Spirit of God. He tells him to speak to the winds and call on the winds to breathe life into these people. We have to call on the living God to breathe life into people. And what we as a church are, we're here to tell people that they can have life in God, but God has to put that breath in them. In other words, he has to breathe his Spirit into you. That's why it says in John chapter 3 that, you know what, where Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he says, you must not only be born of the flesh, Nicodemus, you got to be born of the Spirit. You got to be born again. And the reason some people feel lifeless is because they have flesh. They have skin, they have muscles, they have bone, but they've yet to have the Spirit of the living God breathe into their life. See, the Spirit is what brings life. The Bible says that God is Spirit. And Jesus forgives us of our sin, of missing God's perfection, so that we can come into a holy God's presence. And then when we come into God's presence, he doesn't only give us flesh, he doesn't only give us muscles. The Bible says he gives us his Spirit so we can come alive in Christ Jesus and put the old behind us and put the new out in front of us and get on with our purpose. But so many people are not breathing. They're not being who God has created them to be. They're walking around. They're flesh and blood. They got muscle, they got a skeleton, but do you have the Spirit of the living God living in you? The second application for this speak to the situation is if we have a dry, you know, broken, we feel scattered in life, we need to learn to speak to that situation and declare that there's gonna be hope brought into that situation. So I don't know where you are today. I know this. Sometimes I walk in here with more pain in my life than other times. Sometimes I go through some horrific things during a week and I walk in here and it's more painful than it was the week before or the month before. But if I can anchor my life to hope in Christ Jesus, how I feel and what my experience was this past week doesn't drive my purpose. In other words, I can begin to have purpose in spite of what I experienced. And so many people are thinking, well, I experienced this, so no longer do I have a purpose. My friend, if you are in Christ Jesus, you always have a purpose because it's an eternal purpose and you need to let God speak into your dry, desolate situation and make it come alive. Come on. Allow God to speak. Three times in Ezekiel 37, he tells Ezekiel, speak this message, speak a prophetic word, speak to the dry situation, speak to the wind, and speak to the people. Because people need to understand that it takes God to breathe life into them, and they need to understand that God is what sustains us, and God is what grows us. Ezekiel, speak this prophetic word. Can I tell you where the prophetic word comes from today in the world? It's through the church. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm talking about all of us who are Christ followers. Again, you know, it's not like I'm a prophet like Ezekiel, but together, the church is a prophetic voice for God in this world to talk about what the future is that God holds and what life is really going to be like, hope in the future. And the church, through its various gifts, through its various forms that the Spirit gives, is to be this prophetic word in the world to offer people hope found in Christ Jesus. So what's your gift? Because if you want to speak hope into the world, you have to understand how the Spirit has gifted you. You have to put it together with other gifts. And together, everybody say together, we can become this prophetic voice in the world. The Bible says we are a body. Christ is the head. We are a body. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. So how do we begin to speak this good news about Jesus and what he's done to reconnect people to the living God of the universe? Though we were out of God's presence, Jesus has allowed us to come into God's presence. How amazing is that? Though we had wandered far away, though we had missed the mark of his glorious standard, Jesus was the perfect standard of God and gave his life on a cross so every human being could put their belief in who he is and come into God's amazing presence. Have you allowed God to speak into your situation, into your desperate situation? It is simply amazing when we allow God to speak in us and begin to speak through us. We have to let the Spirit speak hope into us. We have to be a church that speaks hope into the world. And the next thing I wrote down is we have to learn to breathe. Everybody say breathe. Breathe. Now, again, it's vital to your physical life for you to suck breath in. And it's vital to your spiritual life to let Jesus, let the Holy Spirit breathe into you. What is breathing into you from the spiritual world? What is opening your eyes spiritually? What have you seen through the spiritual lens that God gives you? Look what the Bible says, Ezekiel 37, verse 6. He says, I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Do you truly know that he is the Lord? Do you really understand him as the leader of your life? Look what else it says, Ezekiel 37, verses 9 and 10. He says, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, the all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God says, come, oh, breathe from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So they may come to life again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came to the bodies, and they all came to life, and they stood up on their feet. Notice it wasn't until the breath or the spirit was breathed into their life did they truly come to life and stand on their feet. They were skin and there was muscle, but they truly didn't understand what life was all about. I'm a firm believer that for you to understand why God put you here on this earth is you have to come into his holy presence through the gift he offered, named Christ Jesus. And when you come into his holy presence and you say, God, become the Lord of my life. The God moves in. He gives you a gift through the power of his Spirit. And as you submit yourself to the Spirit of the living God, and you submit that gift to the Spirit of the living God, he gives life to your spirit so you can stand up and get on with your purpose in life. It doesn't matter the circumstances. But most people think of purpose from a fleshly point of view instead of a spiritual point of view. Or they don't understand that they can have purpose no matter where they are fleshly. That God can use them and he gives them a gift. And it's not about the tribe you belong to. It's not about the denomination you belong to. It's really not about your skin color. It's not about the language you speak. It's not about any of that kind of stuff. What it is about you submitting yourself to the authority of God in your life and allowing His Holy Spirit to speak life into your dead bones so you can begin to breathe from an eternal perspective and you can see life through a different lens. See, you'll quit in this life if your hope is anything less than what God offers. Because if I put my hope in the things of this world, then what'll happen is I'll get hopeless situations and I can't raise my hope back up and say, no, this isn't eternal. But when I have an eternal lens I look through and I understand I'm living eternal life now, not just in the future, what that means is I can get back up today. Because it is God breathing life into me. It's not my circumstance or my situation. And I move forward. So again, how many of us are truly letting God breathe into our life? This past Tuesday, I got a phone call. I got a phone call and on the other end of the line was a friend I haven't talked to in many, many years. And that friend of mine is in his 70s now. And he got on the phone and he actually, prior to getting on the phone, he texted me back and sent me a short video of him talking to his church family over in Columbia, South Carolina last week. His name is Sam Reynolds. And back in the day, 2002, 2003, I worked for Sam in doing some parking lot construction for him back in the day. And Sam, he and I crossed paths over in Columbia, South Carolina after I finished seminary. And he and another gentleman by the name of Billy Wallace and their wives, Norma and Crystal, God crossed our paths and he said, look, if you'll go to the Myrtle Beach area and plant a church, start a church, what we're gonna do is we're gonna fund you. We're gonna basically pay you a salary for 3 years to go down and start a church. And you know, lo and behold, they did exactly what they said they were gonna do. They funded this church from the very get-go. They actually funded me personally so I could start this church. And for 3 years, you know, they did exactly what they said they were gonna do, and they began to watch God do amazing things in the life of this church. Though we started small in a living room right over in Barefoot Landing, and we began to meet other people, it was that financial seed that allowed us to partner with them and come here and begin to spread this good news about Jesus. And in that phone call he gave me this week, in that testimony, he shared something that was, I guess, very saddening to me. But as I watched his message, he still held on to amazing hope in spite of the circumstance. Because in that message, he revealed he has what he has referred to as terminal cancer. And though he's done great feats for the Lord and doing things like sending us here to start this church, and we've seen thousands of people come to know Jesus, he shared in that, hey, I've got terminal cancer. I went through all this radiation, all my hair fell out. I did all this stuff and the cancer had resolved itself in October, but it came back and now it's in my lymph nodes and it's in my liver and it spread throughout my body. And the doctor called me in and said, get your affairs in order. He said, I told the doctor my affairs are in order. And he wanted to call and share with me that he thinks the next encounter he has with Jesus will be when he's physically taken out of this earth. And in that message, he says, I had three encounters with God on my life's journey. The first one was when I was 5 years old. And he says, I was pulling a little red wagon, and I'm giving you the synopsis of his story. I was pulling a little red wagon when I was 5 years old, and my brother and my sister were at school, and God come and spoke to my heart and says, I got a purpose for your life. He said, I had no idea what that purpose was. He says, but I continued to live life. And in 1984, He says, I had an accident, and in that accident, my sister-in-law and my only son was killed in that accident. And as I was laying in the ditch in an accident that was my fault, he says, God came to me the second time. And he showed me that my little son would never be fatherless. Because though he was dying physically in this world, he was going in to eternity to be with Jesus. And he says that, you know, that kind of got me through that moment, but then I fell into 15 years, you know, after I began to let this life circumstance weigh me down, I fell into 15 years of alcoholism. And he literally, his goal was to drink himself to death so he would feel no more pain. And then in 1996, he said, the third time God revealed himself to me, because I checked myself into a rehab center in Florence, South Carolina. And he says, when I checked myself in, they put me in a dark room that I couldn't even see underneath the door. And he says, a light shined in that room. And a week later, I walked out of that rehab center. I went to the front desk and I told them I was leaving. And they said, if you leave right now, you're a dead man. And he says, ironically, I was a dead man, because I died to my flesh that day. And the Spirit of the living God came to live inside of me. And I walked out of that rehab center and God still reminded me, I have a purpose for your life. Well, that happened in 1996. Our paths crossed in, you know, 2001, 2002, 2003. And he says, what I called to tell you was, you know what? God told me I had a purpose. He reminded me I had a purpose when I came out of that rehab center. And he says, I'm clear that my purpose was to help, you know what, build the kingdom by sowing into what was known then as Barefoot Community Church and starting that church. And my purpose has been that. And though I'm still breathing and I still have hope and I still have all these things, God showed me I had a purpose. And he says, I've lived life now on purpose for 30 years. And he says, you know, again, we've seen some great feats. We've had some great trials, but my faith isn't in the trials. My faith was in who God said I was and me living my purpose. And he says, I've had a road that was rocky going up and down, but God breathed life into me. And my friend, I don't know what you may be going through. Maybe you have a similar story to his. Maybe God's spoken to you before, but I want you to know if something coming to your life and you have a dead situation, there is a God that never gives up on you, and he will speak hope and he will speak life into you today if you'll learn to listen to the Spirit of the living God, because he wants to give you life. Come on. He wants to breathe life into you. And so what we have to learn to do is not only to breathe, but then we have to learn what I wrote down in my journal. Lastly, about this passage of scripture, we have to learn to gather. Look what it says in Ezekiel 37:10. This is remarkable. He says, after all this happened, he says, so I spoke the message which God commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life like we do in Christ Jesus. And they stood up on their feet, a great army. And what's fascinating about that to me is God says he brings us out of the miry clay to set our feet on a solid ground in Christ Jesus, so that we can be like an army, so we can be on mission, so we can have a purpose, every part doing its part. And what's so fascinating about this is they all came to life, but they had to gather themselves together in order to be this army, in order to experience what God was going to breathe into each individual. And what I need to say in this moment is, if you're not gathered and God has given you life in Christ Jesus, he's given you an assignment, he's given you a gift, and he's breathed life into you through your Holy Spirit, but you're not using that gift to be a part of God's army, to spread his amazing glory and his presence in this world, you're really missing out on something. And what God says is, I don't know how you got here. I don't know if you're here on vacation. But I want to say, if you're not experiencing life, what are you really plugged into? What family are you a part of? Because God says we're a family. God says we're an army. The scripture paints a picture that we're a house. The picture paints a scripture that we're a body. And every one of us have a unique purpose. And we need to live life on purpose, carrying out that assignment. And a lot of people aren't mission focused because they're not connected. And see, if your mission in life as a human being isn't to reveal the glory of the living God, the sovereign Lord, then you're really missing what being human is all about. Because God says he created you, both male and female, in his likeness to be image bearers, to spread his glory. And you gotta know God and be intimate with him in a relationship in order to spread his glory. You have to come into his holy presence. He has to breathe life into you. It's not another person. It's not a church. It's not a group of people. It's not an economy. It's not a government. It's not a nationality. It's not a language. It's God. He's the one that breathes the breath of life into you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing how God breathed life into people along the journey? He breathed life into Abraham. He changed Abraham's name into the name of being a father of a multitude. Instead of just a respectable father, a father of a multitude. I need you to know that God breathes his breath into your life. Whether you're Sarah and he needs to name you Sarah, or if you're Abram and he needs to name you Abraham, whatever, God puts his breath into your life so you have divine purpose. And my friend, the only way to experience that divine purpose is to connect, to gather into a local body. Church isn't about just being a spectator. Church is about being a participator and doing what God has designed you to do. And living life on purpose, you will be fulfilled. I didn't say you'll be struggle free, but you'll be fulfilled in life, just like my friend Sam was or is. And you know what? You can experience life eternal, and just like God says you can. And so I don't know where you are today, but my prayer is that you would speak, or we could speak, to the dry situation, that we would call on the Spirit of the living God to come into that situation, and we could speak to you personally and say, stand up and begin to do what God has designed you to do. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, you're amazing. Your name is holy. You are set apart. And God, I pray in the next few moments that up there would come down here and invade some people's life. Father, I pray today that no matter what the dry situation is, how hopeless it may be in a person's, in a couple, in a family's life right now in our midst, that God, we could speak hope into that hopelessness. God, no matter how old, how young, how far away, that God, we call on the name of Jesus and we call on your Holy Spirit to move into the hearts of individuals today. My friend, if you have a desperate situation, I'm just asking you today, would you just lay it down at the feet of Jesus and begin to let Jesus heal your heart and invite the Holy Spirit to invade your life so you can move forward from this point forward. See, Jesus came to forgive us of our sin. And the Bible says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I invite you to call on the name of the Lord Jesus today and invite him in. Say, Jesus, today I want to put my faith in you. I'm tired of trying to do it my own way. I'm tired of being desperate I'm tired of being separated. And today, I need you to bring me back to God. Tell Jesus, thank you for the gift of the cross and his perfection as he shed his blood on that cross to reunite you to God. Now I want to invite you to submit yourself to the Spirit of the living God and begin to let God breathe life into you, breathe purpose, give you gifts, and give you his divine spirit so your spirit can come alive. And my friend, just say, God, today I submit to your authority and I need you to move in and heal this situation and this circumstance so I can move forward with my divine purpose. Ask God to show you how to connect to his family. Ask God to show you what your gifts are. And as you begin to participate, my friend, God is gonna do his part as you submit yourself to his part, to your part. And so today, God, I pray for every person here who needs a relationship with you, that this will be their story, that you breathe life into dead bones and your Holy Spirit begins to give them divine purpose. And from this point forward, God, they live with an eternal perspective. My friend, if you said that prayer, I wanna say welcome to the family. And I believe that God is gonna use you in a mighty and powerful way, no matter who you are or what your journey has looked like from this point forward. So today, Jesus, we thank you for your holy sacrifice. And we pray this prayer in your name, the one who makes it all possible, Jesus. Amen.